Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Corey and Chad here chatting with Matt Battiali. He writes the New Energy Investor, published under the Mangrove Investor website, which I will link to below. And as we have been doing every 2 weeks, is bringing Matt on the show to discuss news, developments, really anything happening in the more critical minerals space. It was just last week that we were talking about major car manufacturer investing, or at least taking interest in some lithium companies to secure domestic supply. We're going to be focusing on a recent letter that Matt sent out where he outlined more at the bottom of that letter, electric vehicle popularity. In starting in the U.S. here in January, 7.1% of all cars sold in the U.S. were electric. That's a 74% increase from last January. And Matt does note that it is definitely partially due to the $7,500 EV tax credit. But look, Matt, we get a lot of fight back on this kind of data saying, well, it's still such a small segment of the overall electric or of the overall vehicle market. But the fact of the matter is, it is growing. And look, more and more people are starting to adopt electric vehicles, which then ties into this whole battery production, and all these vehicles need batteries. Can you take us through kind of your thoughts? Well, what jumped out to you in terms of EV sales and their continued growth year after year?
Yeah, I mean, from a fundamental investor point of view, I like it when people are pushing back on my investment thesis, because, you know, we don't want to be with the crowd. And in my take right now, we're seeing kind of the data is in our favor. We're seeing an uptrend in consumption of these electric vehicles. And it's not just EVs, it's battery everything right now. But the mining companies are still cheap. And so as long as we're getting people pushing back on this, that's great news to me, because it tells me that we still have an opportunity to take positions. You know, every trend has to start small. And we, you know, when I think back to just, you know, in general, what a bull market looks like, bull markets climb that wall of worry. You know, oh, I don't know. I don't own an electric car. My neighbor doesn't own an electric car. You know, so how could it be a trend? But we look at that data and it's going to sneak up on people. And so I think give it a year or two, this trend will be much more solidified. And those same people that were pushing back on it now are going to be on board with it in a year or two. So,
well, Matt, I think sometimes we also have this myopic North American focus on Canada and the United States. But when you broaden it to the whole planet, when you look at what's happening in Asia, really, for the last decade, it's been a story of not just EVs, but electric buses, e-bikes. If you think about electric mining equipment, drones, there's so many uses, and even energy storage to back up solar and wind. There is a lot of use cases for batteries that have done nothing but grow globally. So it's not just a United States story. It's not just a Canada story. It's a global story. And the other thing is, when you plug all these electric vehicles in or any kind of electric appliance in, you need to source it with power. So it's not just a story about batteries. It's a story of how you're going to charge those batteries. So what does that mean for critical minerals?
Yeah, I mean, I think you nailed it when you talk about Asian demand. You know, there's a statistic out that said that China sells as many electric vehicles as the U.S. sells vehicles. So the demand is there. And, you know, the story is pretty established, right? In order to build these electric vehicles, you have to have copper, you have to have lithium, you have to have nickel. And we know, you know, this is a path we've trodden before. There just isn't enough of those supplies right now to supply North America when this trend takes off here, let alone continuing to feed the demand in Asia. And we know the demand is growing every single day. We looked up e-bikes. I don't know, you know, you, Shad, you said you're in Seattle and e-bikes are big there. I'm in Florida. E-bikes are big here. That's an additional demand. Every one of these things has several pounds of lithium in its battery. I have a battery-powered lawnmower. If you had asked me 5 years ago if I was going to have a battery-powered lawnmower, I'd have laughed at you. right? I learned how to repair small engines in high school. And there's nothing better than having a battery powered lawnmower, man, because I don't have to do any of that anymore. I don't have to worry about my spark plugs and my fuel mixes and all that crap. So demand is growing for these metals. Absolutely. And when you look at the mix of energy and the input, so where do you get the energy? Obviously, a battery is like an empty glass and you have to fill it with something. The relationship between fuels that create power here in the States has changed dramatically. You know, I think back to 2009, 2010, and coal was the single largest fuel to produce electricity in the States. And when it got overtaken by natural gas, it was crazy. But now wind and solar have dramatically increased their contribution to overall energy supply. So, you know, and wind and solar need lots and lots of copper, lots of specialty metals. And then you have to be able to store that power somewhere because when the wind blows, it doesn't blow all the time. So you got to catch it when it does. So you need even larger batteries. You need grid scale battery energy storage.
So Matt, to this point about needing more energy and needing more metals, you even outlined in one of your recent letters that there are some estimates that U.S. demand for batteries just by 2030 will be 10 times greater than the demand today. So people would look at this and say, well, that means these underlying metals that go into these batteries, their prices should explode. But anytime we see kind of mankind moving forward, developing new products, if one of the inputs or some of the inputs all explode in price, then they look for alternatives, that they look for some substitutions. How do you balance this out where, look, this is still a developing sector and different metals can be used? So how do you balance out what will be used and the whole narrative of these prices need to explode higher?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting problem, because to address the demand first, I'll tell you a quick story. So I live on the coast in Florida, and you know, I watch these I watch trends among the tourists come and go, and the latest trend here is electric foil surfboards. I have neighbors who own these things, and they're an expensive little toy, but I suspect that you're going to see them if you haven't already, you're going to see them in Vancouver, you're going to see them in California, where they have a couple pound battery on them. It has a shaft and a foil like you see on the racing sailboats with a little propeller on it. And you hold a little remote control, and these things fly. They're super fast. So we are literally electrifying everything, even surfboards right now. So demand for batteries, those projections, I think, are right on or even a little conservative. You know, so going forward, the balance is going to be, as you said, substitution. And the big competition for all these battery operated things is hydrocarbons. You know, we see that right now with natural gas. When natural gas is cheap, it outcompetes coal. And then you have, you know, the coal producers have to lower their prices and they have to end up shuttering mines. You're going to have the opportunity for things like hydrogen to compete, hydrogen fuel cells. If batteries become too expensive, it will open the door to some of these newer technologies. That's, you know, that's just the way markets work.
Well, we've talked about the demand side of things, but on the supply side, if you look at how long it takes any company to bring a nickel mine online or a copper mine online, are we going to get to a pressure point here where everybody has these big ideas and there's not enough material to do that, to execute these ideas?
Yeah, I you know, we touched on this earlier, but I think that what you're going to have to see is we can't be reliant on primary production. So we can't just be sourcing these metals from mines. And we're seeing some companies starting to get into the recycling industry, the recycling business. And I think that that's going to be a big part of this. And that'll also help keep a lid on prices, because, you know, the economics of of recycling will kind of help balance things out. And that's, you know, we talked about a couple different companies, and I should say that I have recommended these in our new energy publication, but companies like Electra Battery Materials, which is ELBM on the NASDAQ. You know, it's a little company right now. It's under 70 million market cap, and they have a refinery in Canada, and they have a 3-year offtake agreement with LG Energy Solutions, where LG is going to buy their recycled material. So, you know, mining is going to be critical to this, but it's not going to be the only solution. Recycling is going to be part of the solution. And I think you're going to see the higher prices, the higher cost of these inputs as they go up, they're going to embolden parallel technologies like we talked about with hydrogen fuel cells, where it will be economic to continue to explore other forms of energy. What's interesting to me about this time, I mean, I think that we're at a pivot point, an inflection point in energy, where it, we're not, you know, you think about the decade from, you know, World War II to 2000, it was oil, and that's all it was. And now we have this diaspora of ideas, of concepts, of sources and solutions, and it's really exciting. And there's going to be a lot of money to be made. This really captures my imagination.
Where do you think the easy money will be made? Will it be going down to some of the small guys if they can make some deals with some big players? Or right now, it really does seem like it's kind of a big player game. The big guys have a ton of money. They get love in their stocks. So are they just going to further consolidate the sector?
I don't know. Consolidate what? I mean, you know, we were talking about this offline earlier. Like when you look at the 20 largest copper mines, they're old. They're like the average age, I think, is over 60 years. These things are old. So, yeah, I mean, I think the large guys have to go out and pick off the really good development projects. So then, you know, in the longer term, that means that the A player exploration projects have to get picked off too. And we probably want this to happen. We want the best production companies to own the best development projects, because they'll do the best job, the most economically reasonable job of building these. But I got to tell you, man, the mining industry doesn't have a great track record for economics. So, you know, I don't know. From an investment point of view, like, I like to have a portfolio, a fairly diversified portfolio of opportunities where, you know, like, I own a trust of uranium metal, right? And I own some junior, I shouldn't say I own these things. I recommended these. I did research on these companies for the letter. But, you know, some of the most promising juniors. And then I also recommended recycling companies, you know, because I really think that recycling is going to have to play a part in this. So, yeah, I mean, I think you have to be diversified. You have to look at economics, and you really have to be nimble and jumping on the right things.
Well, and Matt, one other trend we've seen in the recent past, which we haven't seen previously, is actual governments getting on board to start giving the mining industry some money, but also they're giving money to battery plants and they're giving money to innovation, any kind of innovative idea. But as far as how it affects the resource sector, we have seen it mostly in lithium. Seems like that's where the excitement is. A little bit in nickel. We've seen with Canada recently giving out some funds. But I haven't seen anything going on with copper yet. I haven't seen anything going on with manganese or some of these other more niche products. When will governments get more involved with the whole product cycle? They're very involved in agriculture and getting supply to the market, but not so much in raw materials.
When are you going to run for office, Shed?
Never.
See, we're actually going backwards on copper in the States. I mean, I don't know if you saw this, but they came out with a list of critical metals and deliberately left copper off. And I have no idea why. It's crazy. I mean, I really think that Canada is the most forward thinking and forward looking by giving. And I don't know how many U.S. listeners you guys have, but I'm blown away by the way that the Canadian government incentivizes investors to invest in mining companies. You know, the whole flow through idea and the super flow through for critical metals, where as long as a company is putting that money into exploration costs, you know, you guys can write it off your taxes. I mean, that blows me away. But yeah, in the U.S., we're good in agriculture. We're great in petroleum. There's a, you know, and if I say that there are that petroleum gets massive tax cuts, you're going to get a whole bunch of letters from Texas hollering about what an idiot I am. But the fact is, if you're an investor in an oil well in the States, you get to write off anything that goes in the ground and is lost, like your all the steel, all that stuff. I forget what they call it, like the expendables. So there are massive tax breaks for petroleum exploration. When are they going to get around to doing it for metals? Ugh, I have no idea.
Yeah, who knows? But that has been just a massive development, I think, in the last couple years, is just how all in governments are going to help out companies explore, and it looks like even develop, some of these critical minerals. It's got to be encouraging for the resource investor, because we quite frankly just haven't seen that. Usually we see governments go after companies, not support them. That's one of the main reasons why I think this kind of new way, or these new minerals, although they aren't new, they really have some room to run here, because, well, they're seeing much more support and many other funding options, which I know many companies, especially the juniors right now, would like more ways to raise money. Hey, Matt, great chatting with you. Always interesting. I love reading over your newsletter and everything you publish under Mangrove Investor. So we'll chat again in another couple weeks. Thanks again for your time today.
Thanks, guys.